Most days. Hey, good morning. I want to share with you a couple things out of the word that the Lord's been having with me for a while. I have been in Isaiah 50 and Isaiah 51 for 2 weeks. I just read it and I go right back to it. And this is something that's been important to me. It's Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. And I've been encouraged by the Lord's word when I read Isaiah that he sustains me, and he's encouraging. And so today we have an opportunity to hear Rusty speak, and Rusty's wife, as Dawn, is here with us as well. But I know Rusty's going to speak out of the word, and if you have any sense of weariness about you, this word says that God will sustain you, and I find that very encouraging. So let's pray together. Father, we love you and give you praise for Jesus and just how kind he is to us. Lord, we all have a sense from your kindness that there are some level we need to repent somewhere from something. And so, Lord, today as we go through our service time, help us to be convicted by your Spirit, to know those places that we need to turn to you again or maybe turn to you the first time. But Lord, above all, we want to learn how to love you. And as we learn to love you, Lord, we look forward to a time to spend with you forever. We love you, Jesus, and pray this in your name. Amen.
One of the ways that we can love our Lord is to sing to him. I'm not sure what psalm it is. I don't have my up. But anyway, it says, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Let's stand as we sing this morning. Lord, I lift your name on high. We have sung this a lot lately. So you should be aware of the motions and the song. So here we go. Let's go. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
You may be seated. From Philippians 3:7, it says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And that is the scripture that can go with, be thou my vision. When he's our vision, that means we are looking to him for everything and every moment of every day, waking or sleeping.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. My King of heaven, my treasure thou art. My King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
As we were praying before church, Mary Jo says, open our hearts. And that's what we're going to do next, is we're going to open our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our hearts and sing praises to God and invite him in.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key thou shalt unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear gladly the truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
We're going to go to communion time this morning, and communion is just all about being in a closer walk with Christ, recognizing where you've fallen short and recognizing that he is the way to restoration, to be on the right side of God. So let's stand as we sing, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? With me my burden shares. None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant that Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee, granted Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
You may be seated as the men come forward for communion.
I was trying to prepare for this morning. I thought I knew what the Lord wanted me to bring, and every time I went to put it to paper, it didn't work. And I shared with Vern this morning that a friend of mine called me and said, I'm sending you something last night, and I read the first three words, and I said, all right, Lord, I get it. I'm going to do something a little different with you guys, though. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Just think about that for a minute. But I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes as I go through some things here. And just visualize seeing those things in the mirror. Stuff. I'm sorry, guys. I am not okay. I will always fail. I have no value. I will not be able to succeed. It's okay not to be okay, but I'm still broken. How can I ever be whole again? Every day brings a new struggle. Every day brings a new fight. Every day I struggle to be whole. Open your eyes. We all battle what we battle. The battle is in arms, guys. Every one of these things, every one of us see on any given day in ourselves. The problem is we're trying to fight it. We're trying to fix it. We're trying to defeat the enemy. Give the battle to God. It's God's battle to fight for us, not our fight. Only through surrendering the battle to the one that owns the battle can we defeat every one of these things that was sent to me last night. Not easy, I know. probably the guiltiest of, nope, I could do this. I could beat this. I'm stronger. Nah. There's none stronger. There's none more prepared for the battle than God. Pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, I pray that you just give us all the strength in times of weakness, in times of strife, in times of each of these things that I have brought forward today, to give the battle to the one who owns the battle, which is you, the one that can fight the battle and set us free from the battle. In your name, amen. Thank you.
Hey, Derek, can you go to our desktop? All right, every year for a while now, we've established a verse for the year, a theme verse for the year, and our theme verse this year has been Philippians 1:21. So let's read this together. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. One more time, just in case you didn't get it. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, this past week, our son, Jess, married a gal from Penrose, Colorado, and he said to me this past week, he said, Dad, how long have you been away from mom? How's the longest time you've been away from mom? And I said, 10 days, because she went to Water Edge once when she was a kid in college. We were kids in college. And she goes, I've been away from my girl for weeks. And he just couldn't wait to see her. And now he gets to see her full time. Poor girl. And so as I contemplate that with you, I don't know if you know this, but the Lord wants to live with you full time. He wants to live with you forever. He wants to live with you in such a way that he's never apart from you. And so for you and I, that means you and I must develop that same desire that Jesus has for us, which is to live with him. And I think as we look at this verse, for me to live is Christ, that means every day as you're living your life in everyday life, you're saying to yourself, "I, Jesus, everything's about you." And then when does the gain come? The gain comes when we leave this earthly life and we get to be with Jesus forever. Nothing is impeding us anymore from connecting with him on levels that he wants to connect with us. So we pause, and like in moments like this, we pause because we want to train ourselves every day to pause and spend time with Jesus at least 120 seconds every day. Now, some people will say, how about 2 minutes? I don't have 2 minutes. You got 120 seconds? Yeah, I got that. So we just sit and spend time quietly with Jesus, connecting with him, telling him that you love him, that you desire to love him, that you desire to spend eternity with him, and you just hone in on focusing on that relationship with Jesus and just quietness. So we're going to pause for just a few seconds here, not a full 120, and then when I pray, we'll have Rusty come up and share his time with us. So let's just pause. Father, we love you, and we appreciate so very much the kindness of you sharing Jesus with us. And Lord, help us to pause every day to think about you and our relationship with you, not only in this life, but the life to come. And Lord, help us be ready to live every day in forgiveness and believing the deep love that you have for all of us. And so, Lord, help us to pause every day just to be still with you. We love you, Jesus. We know you're coming soon. Help us be ready. And, Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Jeff tells me he stands down here, so I will stand down here as well. It's good to be with you. My name is Rusty Hedger. My wife Dawn's right over there. We represent Ozark Christian College throughout the Midwest and really all over the country, and get opportunities to talk about the college, which we're going to do during our Sunday school hour with those of you who could be here for that. So I look forward to that as well, because that's when we're doing it, and this is really time to preach. I'm not going to talk a lot about Ozark. I will just say, number one, thank you. You're one of the churches that supports Ozark Christian College, and therefore, through your dollars and through your prayers, make it possible for us to do the work we do. Number two, the work we do is to train men and women for Christian service. Ozark's been around for 80 years as of last month. We celebrated our 80th birthday, and the purpose has never changed. We're just a focused Bible college that trains men and women to take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world as they get trained and then are sent out. Number three, thanks for sending students. My understanding is, as I've had conversations with you this morning, as well as knowing some in the past, you've sent some of your young people from here, and so I'd encourage you to continue to do that. Or maybe not even just young people, sometimes older people. Dawn and I were in the Air Force for 6 years and then went to Bible college with three kids, so don't think you have to be 18 years old coming out of high school to go and prepare at a Bible college for ministry. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 to his first disciples, hey, look out there, that the fields are wide into harvest, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Father, the Lord of the harvest, that he would raise up more workers for the kingdom. So if I could encourage you to do anything for Ozark, I'd encourage you to pray for more kingdom workers. It's not the only Bible college, but it's certainly one of them, and all Bible colleges need you to be praying that God will supply them students who want to train and prepare for ministry. So that's what Ozark is about in a nutshell, and look forward to visiting with you during Sunday school hour or individually more about what's happening currently at Ozark, but just thank you for being a part of that. Let me share this with you as a lead into the sermon and kind of a connection to Ozark. Matt Proctor is the president of Ozark Christian College. He's been there for 16 years now, and so we appreciate his leadership. He travels all over the place, speaking at conferences and talking to churches and representing Ozark, just constantly on the road. But when he is in the state, in fact, he just had a daughter get married about 3 weeks ago, so he can relate to what's going on with Jeff and his family. But when he's back in Joplin, he serves and attends a local church there in Joplin, and his main job of serving there is he works with Children's Church. Now, some of you have or perhaps do work with VBS, little kids in Sunday school, have been a part of Children's Church. You know what that experience is like. I've always been amazed that the president of a Bible college who travels all over the world to speak the good news of Christ takes time to work with little kids in Children's Church when he gets an opportunity to do what he wants to do on his free time. He tells a story about one Sunday morning. He had prepared his lesson on the Great Commission. You know, Matthew 28, go into all the world to make disciples. Many of you are probably familiar with that passage. And so he had wrote that, Matthew 28, 19, on the board behind him, go into all the world and make disciples. And he says himself, as he tells the story, I thought I had a good lesson prepared. But as I got into the lesson, there was one of the little girls in the class who could not stay in her seat. It didn't matter what I said or what I did, President Proctor says, she was always getting up. So it was a constant thing throughout the lesson that he would be teaching, and then he'd have to say, get back in your seat. He'd teach some more, and she's across the floor. Hey, you need to return to your seat. Over and over and over that happened. It was as though she didn't have it within her makeup to sit still. He says the interesting thing is her name is Serenity, right? But she had little of that in that process of his lesson. And he'd gone through the lesson, got to the end of it, and was sharing with the kids, hey, how can you as children be involved even in the Great Commission of taking the story of Jesus around the world? And he talked, and they thought about praying for missionaries that they know, or perhaps if they had some allowance or maybe could make some money through some chores they could give to some mission work they know. Maybe they know someone across the street or in their school that might be from another country or might not yet know Jesus, and they could represent him. Well, And he got to the last suggestion that maybe some of you children could be missionaries someday. Maybe you could pray that God would lead you in that. And he said it struck him at that point. At that point, he looked out, and Serenity is laying on the floor with her feet straight in the air, staring at the ceiling. He knew she wasn't paying attention to his lesson at all right? But it struck him, an idea of becoming missionaries and going into all the world. He said, hey, Serenity, you don't like to sit still. You're not very good at sitting still, are you? And she said, nope. He said, I have good news for you, Serenity. I have good news for you. What is the first word in the Great Commission? And still staring at the ceiling with her feet up in the air, she responded, get back in your seat. President Proctor said he did the exact same thing. He laughed out loud. And then he said, no, look right here. The first word in the Great Commission is go. Serenity, do you think that perhaps God made you with the desire to go, 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 because he's preparing you to be a missionary, to go into all the world and take Jesus to other people? What do you think about that? And to that, she's paying attention now. To that, she got a big grin on her face. She kind of put her hands in the air and she said, woohoo! Excitement about that task. This morning, I want to ask you, when was the last time the first word that came in your mind was, woohoo, when it came to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people? As a general rule, those of us in this room, and I don't know any of you, so I just speak from those of you who know Christ, who have a personal relationship with him, our tendency somewhat is to be hesitant, to drag our feet. We don't have a problem staying in our seat when it comes to sharing the good news. Oftentimes we think, I don't know enough. I might push them away. They're not interested. Whatever it might be, I'll say something wrong. We have all kinds of reasons why we're not, woohoo, I get to go tell this person about Jesus. That's not the Apostle Paul. You guys as a church, family, those who, and I, again, many of you are a regular part of this church, and some of you perhaps visiting today. But if you're a part of this congregation regularly, I know you've been going through the book of Romans for weeks now, since the beginning of the year pretty much, right, Jeff? On the process of what does Paul say to the Christians at Rome about their faith and about the faith. Right? And to me, I just want to hopefully not be redundant in some of the things Jeff has shared, but I just want to zero in on about four verses in the book of Romans chapter 1 with you this morning. So this has been a long, if you've been on it since the first year, this is a long time ago, and although I know all of you memorize all of Jeff's sermons and outlines so that you have it up here, this, even us preachers have a hard time with that, right? Yeah. Just a little reminder and an overview of why is it that Paul says at various places in the book of Romans, as well as Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, hey, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For me, for my brothers to know Christ, I would be accursed, he says in the book of Romans. I would be willing to be cast out from God's presence if it meant my brothers could come to salvation and relationship with him. I think if you ask Paul, what do you think about God wanting to send you into the world with the good news of Christ, his response would be, woo-hoo, that sounds good. Why? Look at Romans chapter 1 with me, and I just want to start reading in verse 14. Again, you've been through it, so I won't rehash all that Paul's saying. I can't wait to get with you. Look forward to being in your presence. Never been with them before. Teaches some really deep theological things in Romans, but in his introduction here, here's what he writes to these believers in Rome. Verse 14 of chapter 1. I am obligated. That sounds like an important word, doesn't it? I sense an obligation on my part about what I'm going to tell you. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I'm so eager. There's another pretty good word, isn't it? I'm not only obligated, I have to do this. It's I'm eager. I want to do this. I mean, I would think that's somewhat maybe the wedding ceremony. You know, there's a sense of, man, I feel obligated. I have to do this. I mean, this is just it. But there's an eagerness. I can't wait to be in this relationship. He says, that's why I'm eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. And then verse 16, for I'm not ashamed. There's another one of those key statements. I'm obligated, I'm eager, I'm not ashamed. We know what it's like to be not ashamed, don't we? You with me? You know what it's like to be ashamed, don't you? We have things in our past. It's something as simple as if I would turn around here and try to walk up here and fall flat on my face on the stairs, the first human response I would have would be to turn around and see if anybody was watching, right? We know what it's like to be ashamed. Well, to be not ashamed is just the opposite. It doesn't matter, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then also to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it's been written, the righteous will live by faith. In those few short verses, I think Paul's preparing the Romans for, hey, I can't wait to get there. Woo-hoo, I'm excited to be with you, for us to share our faith, to be encouraged with one another, and to tell you some of the things. But before I get there, I can't even wait for that. So let me write you some of these things. And everything in Romans is wrapped up in the gospel. Now, lest you don't know what that word means, let me just explain it, define it. It's literally a word that means good news. You and I live in a country and a time in the world when it's nice to hear good news, isn't it? Yeah. There's so much of what we hear I wouldn't define as good news. So Paul's saying, hey, I'm obligated to share this with you. I'm eager to share this with you. I'm not ashamed to share this with you, the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ who died on the cross that I might live by faith and be right with God because of what he did on the cross and my faith in him. Why is it that Paul would say, let me at him. I can't wait. I'm excited. Woo-hoo! Let me talk to someone about the good news of Jesus. Here's four thoughts. Just brief on all four of them, but here's four thoughts for me to consider, for you to consider Paul's excitement about it. Number one, he can't wait to tell him because of the power that it has, the power it contains. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he says in verse 16, because it is the power of God. It's the power of God. It's literally the dynamite. That's the word from the Greek language that the New Testament is written in that Paul uses there. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. And in that little statement, it kind of, okay, all right, what exactly does that mean? What was Paul thinking? See, I've listened to guys preach on this. I've preached on this before. I've studied it in Bible college. That word is the word that we have the English word dynamite from, and you perhaps have heard the story about Alfred Nobel creating dynamite and his whole life process of scientific experiments. He blew up the factory he was doing experiments in, where his younger brother and three other men were killed 4 years prior to dynamite being discovered or created as a way of handling nitroglycerin so it produces good. Tremendous story, but Paul wasn't thinking that when he said it's the power of God. It hadn't been created yet. I think Paul was thinking back to the stories he'd heard in the Old Testament. He was thinking back to when God parted the Red Sea and the Israelites crossed over on dry ground and then God brought the sea back together and all the Egyptians died. He was thinking that kind of power. He was thinking of Daniel in the lion's den all night long, and yet when the king comes in the morning and says, was your God able to spare you? Daniel's response was, I could almost hear Daniel kind of chuckle, but Daniel's response was, sure, you bet. my God is able because of his power. I think maybe he thought of David and Goliath and one little man with five little stones and the big giant falling to the ground. Maybe he thought of sitting in prison because of his own faith and God sparing his life. It's the power of God into salvation. That word is used 118 times in the New Testament. One of my favorites is here, but also one of my favorites in the book of Ephesians when Paul tells the Ephesian church, hey, you guys get this. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the very power that God works within your life today. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. This good news has God's power through and through. Second, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of the provision it makes. It's the power of God unto salvation. And the salvation, righteousness that comes through faith. Paul's writing to a group of people that lived in the first century out of the Jewish faith, and their righteousness, they believed, was created by doing enough good deeds. I don't know, again, where you're at in your walk with Jesus, but I do know enough about trying to be good enough and finding out you can't, to know how powerful of a statement it is that Paul writes right here. It's the power of God unto salvation because it changes righteousness from something that we earn, or at least we thought we earned, into something that Jesus provides through his death on the cross. And by our faith in him, we are made right with God. The provision that it makes through this good news of Jesus. Now, since you guys are in the book of Romans, all right, I won't go anywhere else but the book of Romans, but just listen to some of the provision that the good news of Jesus makes in our lives. Right here we read some of it, that we get right with God through trusting in Jesus. That's pretty good provision. But if you go on through it, he talks about how the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is, you know the verse? Eternal life. Eternal life, that's a pretty good provision, isn't it? That I get to live forever with God. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8, Paul writes that, hey, at just the right time, when I could do nothing about it, when I was powerless, Christ died for me. When I had no means to make it right, he made it right. Or how about Romans chapter 8, verse 1? I love Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You know it? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hear that. Please. Could I? You said Philippians 1, 21 over, okay, so we wouldn't forget it, right, Jeff? So let me say Romans 8, 1 again so you don't miss it. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Please catch that. He didn't say we have perfection because of Christ Jesus. He said, I'm not condemned any longer. Nothing I ever did in the past and nothing I'll ever do in the future, if I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that doesn't condemn me before God. I think we as believers, if you're a believer in Christ, need to hear that, because I think a lot of believers live like, I'm okay now, but what if I do this? What if one more time I struggle in this way? What if that temptation gets me again? At what point will it be that God stops forgiving me? And Romans 8, 1 says, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. If you are in Christ Jesus, you got to catch that. This isn't just a, hey, everybody's the same and everyone gets in. That's not what he's saying. He's saying for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're here today and you're not in Christ Jesus, oh my good. Please talk with Jeff, with a neighbor, with a friend, with me after the service, to know what it means to be in Christ and therefore no condemnation. Or how about Romans 8, verse 31, Romans 8, verse 31, Apostle Paul says, what should we say to all this if God is for us? Yeah, I hear it. Some of you know it. Who can be against us? Wouldn't it be neat to know you always win? Doesn't mean everything goes smoothly, but that's what he's saying. If God is for me, who can measure up against me?
That's incredible. Or how about Romans chapter 8, verse 37? Hey, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Or how about Romans 8, 39, 38 and 39? I am confident of this, the Apostle Paul says, that neither death nor life, not the future, not the present, not demons, not angels, nothing anywhere, anyhow, can separate me from the love of Christ, love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The provision it makes. I could spend the rest of our sermon time just on this one thought. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that gives salvation. Which brings me to point number three, the people it reaches. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. Both the Jew and the Gentile. And living in Missouri, that's where Don and I live, down by Joplin, southwest Iowa. You guys live in northwest Iowa. You lived for a long time just across the border up into Iowa in ministry. I'm not sure I can grasp the challenge there was to Jew and Gentile when Paul begins to talk about when the New Testament describes of God bringing those two together with anything that I've experienced in my lifetime. And man, I was alive in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and I've been alive in the last couple of years, and there's a lot of tension and a lot of animosity, but I'm not sure I grasp Jew and Gentile. And Paul's saying, hey, the gospel is the power of God to everyone who believes. First the Jew and then the Gentile. That is everybody. That's you and me. That includes us. I'm not a Greek scholar. I studied it in But I'm not a Greek scholar, don't use it other than studying and preparing for sermons, but you know what the word everyone there, and I have the New International, to everyone who believes, you know who's included in everyone? Everyone. I don't know a better word for it. And you know who everyone is? It's you. I need to hear that on a reoccurring basis. I need to be reminded that I am saved through the gospel. I am everyone that's included in that. I need to hear that because my neighbors are in everyone. And sometimes I don't woohoo with the gospel to my neighbors because I don't think they're interested anyway, and I'm not even sure God wants them. You know anyone bad enough? But there's no one bad enough. There's no one wrong enough. There's no one far enough away that God doesn't want to save them through what he did with Christ on the cross. The neat thing about this verse is my very best friend and my very worst enemy can be saved through what Jesus did on the cross. Woo-hoo! Wow! I can look at my own life and think, wow, someone told me the gospel, and I was saved. Again, this isn't a, hey, everyone gets into heaven doctrine. That's not what Paul's saying. If you don't have Jesus in your life, none of this good is yours. It's just offered to you. But man, he wants you. It's a power in God and salvation to everyone who believes. First of all, the Jew and the Gentile. Oh, and one more thing, he's excited about because of the power it has, the provision it makes, the people it reaches, and fourth, the person it's all about. Because ultimately, what Romans is going to tell you from start to finish, and I don't know if Jeff's taking January through December, I don't know if you're going into next year. I remember reading one time, there was a preacher at a big church down in the Dallas, Texas area. He spent 7 years preaching through the book of Romans, so I don't know where Jeff's at on all of that. You're on track for that. But however long it takes, please hear this. From start to finish, the good news is about Jesus. That's what Paul wants him to get. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul writes, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart from the gospel of God. An apostle of Christ Jesus. You get to the very end, the next to the last verse of the book of Romans chapter 16, talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ and Paul sharing that with them. and through, there's only one chapter out of all 16 that Jesus' name or a pronoun about him is not mentioned. In the book of Romans, his name, Jesus or Christ, is mentioned 29 times. There's pronouns he or him is used 20 times. And chapter 11 is the only chapter that doesn't contain any one of those. And if you've read chapter 11 of Romans, it's hard to miss Jesus. When you walk out this door today, when we leave and go about whatever's on the rest of the day, the most important thing Paul would want you to grab a hold of is Jesus loves you. This I know. That's why he died on the cross for you. Years ago, Don and I were ministering in Western Iowa, and ICOM, the International Conference on Mission, was being held in Kansas City, Missouri. And so Don and I went down to attend that, partly for the conference, partly because we have a son who lives in Joplin who works in missions. So he and all of our grandkids that he and his wife have, we're going to be there. And we have a daughter and her husband that work in youth ministry in eastern Missouri, and they were going to be there with their youth group. And we thought, we're not even going to get to go to the conference on missions, but we'll get to see family. That's right. We'll get to see kids and grandkids. So we went. And one of the sessions they had that year was in the morning in this big, big auditorium. And they had several of the different missionaries who would take about 10 minutes and say, here's what's going on in our part of the world right now. Here's what God's doing. And they would share for about 10 minutes, and they'd move right into another. And my task that time, that service, I don't know that I volunteered, but it was a great thrill. I get to hold my youngest grandson. His name was Dodd. He was 3 years old at the time. And his sister had just turned 5. So when you have a 3- and a 5-year-old in a big auditorium full of people trying to pay attention to the missionaries, we chose towards the back to sit so they could have a little room to move around and be themselves. And Dodge is all boy. He's pretty rambunctious. And so I was trying to keep him quiet, hold him on my lap, read to him some, whatever, we just playing around. And this one guy was speaking in the midst of his, and I don't even know all he said, but in the midst of his presentation, he said, when I count to 3, I want all of you out there at the same time to say the name Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Jesus, all through this, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, including our grandson, Dodge, who was laying on my lap, not paying one bit of attention, I thought, said Jesus, crystal clear. And the overwhelming thing that hit me at that moment was our grandson was born with some birth difficulties, birth defects. One of them is his speech is not developed very well. Still battling that. He takes speech therapy now that he's about school age, preschool, and it's improving some. But for us who lived away, see him ever so often, we would frustrate him a lot because he would talk and talk and talk, knowing exactly what he was saying, and we couldn't get it. And it was hard to understand most of anything he said. But at that moment, crystal clear, our grandson said, Jesus. And I left that session thinking to myself, if he never ever learned to say another word that people could understand, I'm glad he's learned the word Jesus. Paul said, woohoo, I'm coming to Rome and I can't wait to talk to you about the gospel, but let me write about it right now. Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, first of all to the Jew and also to the Gentile, because it's all about righteousness through faith. This morning, you maybe need to talk to someone, Jeff or one of the elders, or maybe your spouse. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I met Dawn and started going to church with her family, and Jesus got me. Maybe your spouse is a believer and you're not. Maybe your parents are believers and you're not. Maybe your kids are believers and you're not. Maybe today, if you're not a believer in Christ, certainly you need to find someone who is to talk to him about what it means to be in Christ, to have what he did for you on the cross, for the gospel to apply to your life. And I know Jeff and others would be happy to do that with you today. For those of us who are believers, who have Jesus, I think we need to stop and think, wow, this is good news. This is not just some, well, I'm good and on my way to heaven. This is good news. And woohoo, needs to become more my heart, sharing that with other people. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to be in your presence in this place. It's incredible that the church meets all over the globe this Sunday. People celebrate and worship and repent and grow and come to Christ. And that happens in Sheridan, Missouri as well. I thank you that we, Dawn and I, have been able to be a part of this gathering this morning. Thank you for your word that teaches us about how incredible the good news is. That for every one of us in this room, Jesus would be ours. For those that that's not true yet, I pray that this could be the day for them to bow and say yes to him. Have him. I pray this would just be a day that would remind us and re-encourage us of how good news is good news. Thank you for what you've done for us in Jesus. I pray in his name. Amen.
We're going to sing close off the if you've not joined a walk, like you said, you know, this is your opportunity to come forward or to join in the walk. If we've been in the walking for a while, it's time to say woohoo and get closer to him. Let's stand as we sing, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close for thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee. Closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
This week. And I didn't get it correct on this coming Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, we actually will be out at the Runyon's house again. I do not have who the teacher is that evening, but I'll put a text out there about that. So make sure you pay attention to your phones. I'll probably do that here shortly. Also, don't forget, last week I handed out this in the bulletin. Was a prayer guide for children. And if you want one of those, I made extra copies of those again. I can't think of a better time to be praying for kids than post-VBS, after VBS. The kids have all heard the gospel. You know what kids like to do, and they're excited about the woo-hoo. You know what they like to do? They like to talk about it. And guess who needs to hear it? Whoever's at home. They need to hear it. And so I'm excited about that. So if you want to pick up a prayer guide, I've got some of those in my office for you. Also want to share with you that I've got the Bibles coming in. And so if you are a team leader and you want to hand out kids in your own team, I will gladly give you Bibles for your team. I know Derek and I plan to go out and visit families and give the kids Bibles. So we promise every child of VBS a Bible. And I read out of this Bible all week long to the kids at Me at the Rug. And so they would love to have that. So if you want one for the kids in your life, see me. I've got a whole stack of them in my office, and we'll do that. And we'll check your child off the list, and we'll make sure that family gets a Bible. Because every family needs to have a Bible in their home. And I would say they must have a Bible in their home. That's how I would put it. They must have a Bible in their home. So anyway, other than those things right there, any other announcements I can make today? Anything else? Okay, we're going to go downstairs and spend time with Rusty and Don. He's going to update us more about Ozark Christian College. And there's a nice thing about weddings sometimes. Sometimes we have food left over. We have these great cupcakes that I do not want to eat the rest of the week. Okay? And so please go downstairs, grab some cupcakes, spend a little time with us. And if you don't want to stay for Sunday school, I get it. You don't have time. I get it. But if you can't stick around, stick around. But at least grab, you know, 2, 3, maybe 5 cupcakes before you leave. Something like that. So anyway, I'd love to pray with you now as we depart from one another. So, Jesus, we love you, and we give you praise for being so kind to us. And, Lord, I'm just enamored by the power of the gospel and the provision of the gospel and how you, the people of the gospel is everyone, Lord, and how you, Jesus, are the person of the gospel. I heard it this week, Lord, and I think I heard it best. And what I heard this week was, is you. That's what we get. When we choose to trust you and repent of our sin, we get you. And Lord, help us to fathom such a concept just to get you for all of eternity. So amazing. We love you, sweet Lord. Look forward to seeing you soon and pray your name. Amen. Good to see you. Thanks for coming.